Welcome to the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. Get the best Penn State sports news and analysis at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com or download the Keystone Sports app from your smartphone.
Welcome into this edition of the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. Dustin Hawkinsmith and Greg Pickle here, talking some Penn State football. A little bit of a slow news week, I guess you could say.
We're looking happy ahead. July.
Happy July. Happy. We're in the second half of July now, officially.
Yep.
We've got some things happening, some decisions on the horizon, so we'll touch on those. We're talking really just some recruiting. I did an event with the 409 Tailgate Club guys, and they asked some good questions that I want to turn into a little game-by-game prediction for the season, a loose prediction at this point in time. Sure. We haven't really done a lot of homework on all of the opponents on Penn State's schedule, but we'll do our best today. We're going to continue our redshirt review series, and we'll do some Ask Greg coming up. By the way, we do have a special announcement to piggyback on. Last week, we let you know about this. A little bit more information. Our guy Mark at GoPSURV.com going all out for the first game against Appalachian State. He's going to be renting RVs at half price for that first game of the season. Half price. You get some buddies going up there, and it's basically your hotel room. Works out to be a pretty good deal. GoPSURV.com. It's a special deal for our Keystone Kickoff Show listeners. If you're thinking about getting an RV for a game up there, this is a really good opportunity to see what it's all about. Mark's going to be having a little open house that first weekend, so you can come check out the lot. You can check out what he's got. The 409 Tailgate Club guys will be there giving out samples of their barbecue and the tailgate wine that you can check out at tailgatewine.com as well. That's gopsurv.com. Half price RVs for opening weekend, a good way to kick off the year. And kicking off the year, we're going through some analysis, Greg. So we've seen national people put out analysis, and it won't stop between now and the season opener. But Dennis Dodd from CBS Sports, I want to start right there. He's created a couple little waves here in State College because he put out a top 10 quarterback list. His aim, these guys aren't ranked 1 through 10. They're listed in alphabetical order. His aim, which, you know, I guess it's fair, trying to determine a preseason All-American out of those 10. And Trace McSorley is not on the list.
Yeah.
What do you think about that?
Well,
I'll go through the 10, but I just in general, what do you think?
Yeah, I mean, it's hard to write. He writes, hoping I don't leave anyone out, and then proceeds to leave out a guy that is among, you know, the top five or six
best odds.
That's
not exactly like a ringing endorsement of what people are about to read.
Right, isn't it? Yeah. I mean, obviously, you know, at some point in time, you are trying to, you know, get people talking about what you write. But, I mean, this is just it's hard to even fathom what the reasoning or the rationale was to not include him on this list. I mean, look, there's a lot of very talented quarterbacks on this list, but, you know, let's just start with one of them, Nick Fitzgerald. I mean, this is a guy that, you know, wasn't healthy all year last year. Very good. You know, I mean, Drew Locke, yeah, he's very good, but he also played for a terrible Missouri team. I mean, there's just a lot of names on here that just it's not that they're not deserving, but if you're going to leave off, you know, Trace McSorley, I think that you probably should have had him on over some of these other guys.
Yeah, I think if you were going to say, if you're going to put out a top three and McSorley wasn't on there,
right,
that's fine. Jake Fromm, Will Grier was one of the better NFL prospects from West Virginia. I can see some of these guys, even, but Jake Browning over Trace McSorley is curious to me. Ryan Finley from NC State over Trace McSorley is curious to me. It's hard to find somebody with the production over 2 years and now going into his fifth year senior season. And this is not a irrelevant Penn State team,
right,
by the way. So if you're looking at, you know, All America status, which I've never really looked at a position or thought like, let's decide who's going to be a preseason All American. That line of thinking doesn't really fit with how I would think about it. But
right.
So the list is, just before we move on, Jake Browning, Ryan Finley, Nick Fitzgerald, Jake Fromm, the sophomore from Georgia who's injured, who there's a possibility that Justin Fields, the former Penn State commit, ends up starting the year if his recovery doesn't go that well. Will Grier, Justin Herbert, from Oregon, Drew Locke, Mackenzie Milton from UCF, Jared Stidham from Auburn, Khalil Tate from Arizona. Most of these guys are very deserving of that kind of consideration. Absolutely. But I don't – it's hard to think of a quarterback who's more deserving of being on this list than Trace McSorley.
That's pretty much what it comes down to, Dustin, is that, again, it's not that what's on the list isn't necessarily deserving of top 10 status, but McSorley certainly is, as a guy that, again, has been pretty much everything Penn State's needed him to be over the last 2 years, and he's now the leader of an offense that really needs a leader going into the 2018 season.
Sticking with the quarterback theme, and I don't even I at this point it's a few days ago, I don't even remember who put out the quarterback room rankings, but somebody had Alabama over Penn State, and I think it was Tommy Stevens that didn't take that kindly.
What was Alabama who thought that?
Oh, Alabama. Well, okay, that makes sense.
Yeah,
that makes sense.
And then Tommy Stevens responded with, you know, he thought that was amusing.
It's an interesting discussion. A lot of people are high on Tua Tagovailoa because of what he did in the national championship game. Jalen Hurts, who at this point, let's just presume him the backup, is established, and he's been a 2 year starter.
Right.
So their room makes sense. McSorley is more proven of the projected starters, and Tommy Stevens, I think, could be better than Jalen Hurts, but we don't know.
Right.
Who do you got in this conversation?
Well, I want to start first with the whole Tommy Stevens things, because I have a really hard time in this conversation getting past the fact that he doesn't necessarily have a quarterback track record so far in his career. I mean, look, Dustin, he's done a lot of good things for Penn State, but you know as well as I do that when he goes in there to play, most of the time, if he's playing quarterback, he is simply handing the ball off to kill clock. So he looks like a guy that should be the logical successor once Trace McSorley's reign is over this year, and he looks like he has all the tools to be among the nation's best. But I guess another thing I would say when you're having this conversation is that I think you know more about the guys at Alabama, but I would take Trace McSorley over both of them. So when you're talking about the entirety of the room, I mean, Alabama has a couple of 3-star guys. They haven't really recruited the position all that well. Now, granted, when you get a couple 5-stars back to back, you don't need to.
Yeah.
But it's an interesting conversation. I think I would take McSorley over both of those guys. Yes, they have the title down there in Alabama, but I think with all the things that Penn State needs from the quarterback and its offense, they need a guy like Trace McSorley. So I think I would give him the nod. As for the rooms overall, man, it's close.
It's close. I think with that in mind, I think I would take Penn State's room. What you want is a good insurance policy, and you want the best possible starter, right?
Yep.
I don't necessarily need a former starter as my backup, but I would rather have the guy who's going to be who's done it for 2 years as my starter. So I think it's close, but I think McSorley pushes it over the top for me.
I wouldn't disagree with that. I just think that, again, everything, and you know, we look at it from a certain viewpoint because we've seen him in person and play a whole heck of a lot more than the other two guys. But, you know, I think that Penn State is a couple of plays away from being in the college football playoff conversation. And if they were, you know, we'd obviously have a much better idea of how Penn State would fare. I mean, we know the other two guys were able to lead Alabama to a national championship, but they were doing it with a heck of a lot better talent around them than Penn State was. That's not a slight to what was on the roster, but just look at the average star ratings. Penn State's creeping closer to where Alabama's been the last 2 years, but Alabama's been there for a long time, and Penn State's just getting close.
And it's hard to argue with that. Joe Moorhead, when he was on the show a couple weeks ago, just I was curious his so the dynamic of Penn State's offense changes, and he really raved about Trace McSorley because of opponents' focus on Saquon Barkley the past 2 years, definitely last year even more so, and his ability that defenses were challenging Trace McSorley to win with his arm and win with his legs, and by Moorhead standards and by anyone's standards, he did that. The dynamic shifts this year because now we don't really know what opponents are going to key on. You have to think that they're going to key on McSorley more than Miles Sanders, which maybe opens up opportunities for Miles Sanders, and maybe that dynamic shifts. The other part of it is, how do you key on a quarterback who can beat you deep, beat you short, beat you with his mind, and beat you with his legs? It's a lot easier said than done. So really, this is Trace McSorley, in some respects, I guess stepping out of a shadow and opponents will maybe key on him. But and that's really what you're trying to figure out as Penn State's offense is what's this going to look like without Saquon Barkley?
Right. And the question becomes, too, you know, is it going to be a situation where it's good for Penn State that they're able to have a more of a balanced attack, if you will, more of a balanced approach and more of a situation where they don't have eight defenders running right to Saquon Barkley and, you know, Trace McSorley then has to get out of the way and see what can happen. So I think it's a good thing. Obviously, I don't want to trivialize the loss of Saquon Barkley and Mike Gesicki and Deshaun Hamilton, because let's be honest, those are three guys that when Penn State was able to go to the Big Ten title game and they were able to win the Fiesta Bowl last year, they don't do it without those guys. And there's a lot of other things over the last couple of years they wouldn't have done either. So I don't want to make it sound like that, oh, well, it's good news to lose Barkley because now defenders won't key on him. Well, when they were keying on him, he still found a way to do a lot of good things. Yeah. So it all comes down to whether Miles Sanders, Juwan Johnson, some of these other guys are ready to step up. I think they are, Dustin, but we have to wait and see.
I think we'll obviously get the answer, but I it's fair to ask the question, are national people who don't maybe pay attention to the down-to-down function of Penn State's offense the past 2 years, not giving McSorley enough credit and giving Barkley too much credit? I think it's a fair question to ask. And listen, Barkley did it all.
Right.
And he created highlight reel plays, but I think his ability to create highlight reel plays – worked against McSorley, like in the context of this conversation. For Dennis Dodd to not put him in the top 10 is an oversight for sure, but I think it's a testament to the overall thinking that McSorley wasn't really the guy.
I think it's perception too, because if you look around and read different things and hear people talk, there's a lot of belief out there that Trace McSorley just sort of, and this, remember, Joe Moorhead got really upset about this last year, is that there's an idea that Trace McSorley just kind of heaves it downfield and somebody went and caught it, yeah. Whether it was Chris Godwin, whether it was Juwan Johnson, whether it was Deshaun Hamilton, Mike Gesicki, Barkley on a wheel route. There's this perception out there, I think, that McSorley's numbers are more about the guys around him, not just Barkley, but the guys around him, period. And I don't necessarily think it's fair. I think that the kid does a lot of things that many other quarterbacks in the country can't. And it's not just a mental part of it. It's not just a physical part of it. It's doing the little things that you don't think about often, that don't make box scores, that don't get credit on SportsCenter or highlight shows or this, you know, this radio show, to be honest. I mean, he does all the little things right that you need to be one of the best quarterbacks in the nation. But I think that his problem is that he runs up against the perception that, well, Trace just heaves it up down there. He just throws a Hail Mary down the field and hopes somebody catches it. And that's just not the way the offense works. And quite frankly, it's not the way McSorley's game should be evaluated. But I think that's how it is evaluated from the 50,000 feet standpoint.
Well, listen, I think the 2016 season, that might have been a fair criticism. That dynamic wasn't even in play last year. I think people are longing for that deep ball to be such a prominent part of what they do, and they hope that Penn State's wide receivers can do that. 11 rushing touchdowns last year. It's hard to argue with that dual threat capability. It won't be the last time we stump for Trace McSorley a little bit. We're moving on here. We're going to probably explore some more quarterback stuff in quarter two here of the Keystone Kickoff Show, so stay tuned. Hey, Penn State fans, here is your chance to take something off your bucket list. That's right. GoPSU RV is offering a full range of RV setups ready for a weekend of great tailgating at their Lions Den, which is the closest single-game RV overnight lot to Beaver Stadium. You can arrive anytime Friday afternoon. Stay until Sunday morning, avoiding all that traffic. Don't miss this unique opportunity. Go online to gopsurv.com and reserve your RV today.
Life gets complicated, and it only gets more complicated when things change, which is why AAA insurance agents take the time to talk with you so that they can help you choose the best auto and home coverage. Don't put off getting protected. Let AAA help cover what you care about. Insurance that's not just insurance. Talk to your local AAA insurance agent or visit AAA.com to learn more about AAA.
409 Tailgate Club proudly introduces our tailgate wines. Like our great sauces and rubs, you'll enjoy our wines at your next cookout, tailgate, or even as a great gift for that fan of the blue and white. Speaking of blue and white, you've got to try our award-winning Sapphire Blue, made from pure blueberry juice. Or how about our Old Main Pinot Grigio and 1855 Vidal? Go to tailgatewine.com and find all our PA preferred wines. That's tailgatewine.com.